This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the Word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments, our weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder the Sunday Mass readings. It is the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and before we get into the readings and a little bit about this theme, I just wanted to reflect real quickly as we open up. Over the last couple of weeks, I have been spending a little time in three other states. Let's see, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah, and checking out some of the great Grand Canyons, Grand Canyon, Zion Canyon, Bryce Canyon, and then some others. And just seeing some of the beauty of the United States, some of these national parks and areas of just God's beauty. And of course, I live in the Pacific Northwest, so we have access to the Pacific Ocean. We have access to amazing mountains, rivers, the beaches, lava beds, the desert. And so we are, at least I'm blessed to be around such great beauty right here in the Pacific Northwest, and then to go and see something different. And as I came back home, and I've been trying to reflect on, you know, Lord, what do you want to communicate as we maybe go on a special trip, a pilgrimage? Maybe we go to some places that are special, whether they're holy sites or beautiful sites of nature. I always want to look for what's that kernel of wisdom. And one of the things I got yesterday, I was driving to Beaverton. And on my way to Beaverton, there's a town called Scappoose. And where I parked for just a moment of break, it was about 6:45 in the morning. The sun was just coming up, and I could see in the distance this beautiful setting. And it was the outline of Mount Hood and outline of Mount St. Helens. And they were kind of this dark purple, beautiful color surrounded by golden yellows and oranges. And I just thought, you know, just in my own little world where I do my work, where I do my family life, my parish life, my ministry, the work in various areas, God shines His beauty. So no matter where you are, whether it's Scappoose or it's St. George, Utah, or it's, you know, Rome, God will reveal His beauty. And that beauty calls us to reflect that beauty, that we're all created in God's image, but God has only allowed us. You know, I saw some amazing creatures and the glory of the rocks and the canyons, but the rocks and the canyons don't have a personal relationship with God. The beautiful elk and the little squirrels and chipmunks that I saw, they don't have a personal relationship with God. We, as human creatures, do. We have been called to know Him, to love Him, to get to know who our God is, to recognize the Creator. You know, the mountains are glorious. The ocean is amazing. These beautiful creatures from the beautiful, you know, the cactus and the trees and the flowers and the bees, they're all beautiful. And yet we're the ones who are called to have that eternal relationship with God. And I just think it's worth meditating on that God's called us, you and I, men and women, children of all ages, to have a relationship with him, to be with him always. And that means that we're called to live differently. And that really takes me to the focus for this set of readings. Woe to the complacent. Woe to the complacent. Are you complacent? Let's hear the scriptures today as they challenge us, as they challenge the people in Jesus's time, as they challenge the people many centuries before Jesus's time. The prophets have challenged the people. How are you living? So let's begin by opening with today's collect prayer. Let us pray. O God, who manifest your almighty power, above all, by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us, and make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasure of heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And as you listen to that collect prayer, again, this is the prayer that the priest prays at the very beginning of Mass. Every daily Mass and Sunday Mass, he'll say, "Let us pray." And there's this collect prayer, and it's different. Sometimes you'll hear the same prayer for a week. But listen to this word, bestow your grace abundantly. So we're asking for God to bestow his grace abundantly on us, those who are hastening to attain your promises. Are you hastening? Do you go quickly? Do you continue to forge forward on attaining the promises of God? Serving God, loving God, learning about God, knowing him, so that you will receive the treasure of heaven. It's a great prayer to pray as we open on this 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall. Improvising to the music of the harp, like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. Yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. The word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. Blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations. Praise the Lord, my soul. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful readings on this 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And a couple of things I want to bring out as we look to the first reading, going back to the prophet Amos, and listen to the words, which is my thread for today: "Woe to the complacent in Zion." And Amos is making a statement that he sees those who are selfish, those who are ignoring God, those who are serving themselves without looking at the consequences of their actions, of their behaviors. Who are they serving? How are they serving? And they are in luxury. And what are they doing with that luxury, with that sumptuous dining table, with the food and the wine and all of the things that they have acquired, whether it is their status? They are keeping it to themselves. And there will be a consequence to that. And says the last line of this particular reading from Amos chapter 6, they will be the first to go into exile. They're going to be the first to be taken away and to be taken away from their life, their relationship with God. They're going into exile to become slaves. And if we continue to have this selfish, prideful, I'm not looking at what the needs are around me. I'm only concerned with myself and to use everything for my own glory, that I'm the one who's glorified versus God, who is all glory, and that God is calling me to serve and to use what I have, which may be a little bit. And maybe that what I have is a prayer, that I use that for others on behalf of the good of others. Love is willing the good of the other. Now, if I have resources, then now I'm being called to use those resources to share with others. Otherwise, you are going to go into exile. There's a consequence for how we live our lives. And so Amos is saying, woe to the complacent. All of the prophets continue to call out as we read about them in the books attributed to them in the Old Testament. They're calling out to continue to praise the Lord, to continue to serve the Lord. Yeah, there's going to be difficulties and trials and tribulations. And yet, woe to those who don't turn to the Lord. Are you going to have another idol? Are you going to have another focus, which is not God? See, the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord loves the lowly, those who depend on him. He raises those who are bowed down. He secures justice for the oppressed. We hear in the Psalms today, Psalm 146, the Lord shall reign forever. See, it's about our relationship with God. Adam and Eve ruptured that first relationship. The first rupture in a relationship with God began with Adam and Eve, began with humanity. And God, to fix, to repair that rupture, sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross, to be risen again in 3 days, that whosoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. The way of repairing, restoring, redeeming that initial rupture with God, that chasm that was built, is a life in Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to die to win our souls. I was just listening to a couple of chapters in a large book, Treasure of Clay, an autobiography written by now Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. And he writes, and so many of the things that he's writing about in the conversations he has with different people. And if you know the story of Fulton Sheen, I'm not going to go into it. He was a tremendous man of God, but he always talks about being concerned for others' souls. I think about a Padre Pio. I think about a St. John Vianney, those men, particularly in the priesthood, because they had a special role to play to bring forgiveness to men's sins and women's sins through the sacrament of confession. And so Fulton Sheen would talk about people who would be opposed to him because they knew Fulton Sheen was adamantly opposed to Nazism, to all of these different religions that were against God, to communism, particularly in that age. And so he would come across people who were completely opposite of his perspective in economics or in politics. And Fulton Sheen would always say, let's meet. I'm concerned about your soul. And that's what I think about, is that we need to be concerned about the soul of one another, how we live our lives. Are we concerned about the souls of one another? This letter to Timothy from St. Paul is beautiful because St. Paul is always giving words of wisdom. This is what to do. This is what not to do. It's pretty clear. He's pretty clear. I mean, can you be more clear than this? Pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Okay, if I'm not pursuing those things, I'm going the wrong direction. Compete well. Again, these sports analogies. Compete well. Pursue. Persist. Don't give up. Continue to fall forward. As I think it's St. Junipero Serra is like, always go forward. Always forward in the faith. Keep the commandment without stain or reproach until Jesus comes again. You know, continue to live your life for Christ. Don't stop. Don't stop and be complacent, as Amos is talking about. To him be honor and eternal power. It's not me. It's not good old me. It's all about me. No, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Paul is so clear about how do we live our life. And it's either rich or poor. It's not only the poor. No, it's the poor and the rich. How do you use your poverty? How do you use your wealth? We cannot serve God and mammon. So are we humble? Do we give? Do we serve? Do we offer what we have? The little penny or the masses of resources? How are we spending those? Are they for treasures in heaven? This gospel according to Luke, and I've got a couple of reflections that come from Pope Benedict, that come from St. Augustine about this, that I want to share with you. We've heard it many times. And as I read this reading again, I wanted to remind myself that Jesus is talking specifically to the Pharisees. So here are these men in a particular honor and esteem in the church, and he's giving them a lesson. So he's talking about this rich man who is unnamed. Many commentaries have pointed this out, that the rich man doesn't have a name, but we see through the readings, we hear about how he lives. He lives sumptuously in his dining, so he gets everything that he wants and eats everything, and he dines wonderfully. He doesn't share that with anyone. We don't hear about a family member. We don't hear about a wife or children or others that receive anything from his sumptuous dining. We see that he dresses himself with wonderful clothing, purple, which is a color of honor, and fine linen. And yet at the very front of his doorstep, and he must live in a palace or something, right? He must live in a beautiful place. There is this man, Lazarus, who is covered with sores, who's poor. And he just, even a crumb of a piece of bread, he would be grateful to have. And yet this rich man, who will remain unnamed, doesn't give him any acknowledgement or recognition. Certainly, if he is covered in wonderful clothing, he probably could provide something to cover Lazarus's body, but he doesn't even think, we don't hear that he thinks about a way of covering or protecting or helping Lazarus at all. And then they both die. And we hear that the rich man, he's buried. But Lazarus is carried up with the angels. It's like the angels have been watching this man and caring for him from afar, from heaven. And then his name is written in heaven. His name is written in the book. We hear about the book. Is your name in the book of heaven? And yet the rich man, apparently his name wasn't in the book because he is now in the nether world. And he's in the netherworld, and still his concern is for himself. Now, he does have concern, we hear, for his other brothers that are still alive to Abraham. Abraham, do something about them, because apparently I'm stuck here in hell. You've chosen it. Again, the audience are the Pharisees. Will they change their ways? Will they stay complacent? You know, here Jesus is teaching a lesson to those who may be stuck, so firmly stuck. They're not falling forward. They're stuck that they will be stuck even in hell. They won't move. They won't budge. And Jesus is pointing this out. And at the end of the lesson, because the rich man has recognized, well, hey, if my brothers would see some miraculous thing, they'll change their ways. And yet Jesus says, you know, they have Moses, they have the prophets, they have the lessons. We had Amos. We just heard from Amos. And yet there were people who stayed complacent in the time of Amos, and they were first to go in the exile. They didn't change. They weren't listening to wisdom. They weren't listening to God's providence, God's message, God's messengers. Who are the prophets? And Abraham says, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to wisdom, if they don't listen to sacred scripture, if they don't listen to tradition, If they don't listen to what Jesus taught in the Ten Commandments, if they don't listen to me, they won't be persuaded by some great miraculous thing like someone rising from the dead. You know, we know Jesus is going to rise from the dead. The Pharisees didn't know that, but it was prophesied. And Jesus prophesied it in his own life that I'm going to be raised in 3 days. Yet if they're not willing to listen to what I've already given them through all of these centuries of God's revelation, this next step of the resurrection isn't going to convince them because they're going to stay stuck. You know, and I think maybe one of the things Jesus might be saying is, are you going to remain stuck like this rich man? Are you going to stay stuck like him? Are you just going to stay and sit in your own complacency? And where does that get you? It gets you, it could lead you to hell. It could lead you to hell. If you don't want to turn around and embrace God, you choose your darkness. You choose your end result. God gives us everything. It's like Jesus said, I've given you everything. Through Moses and the prophets, I've given you everything. And in fact, for some, I've given them the resurrection, you know? But even for those who don't choose Moses or the prophets, or they don't learn those lessons, they won't even learn from something as significant as my resurrection from the dead. And there's a consequence to that. Pope Benedict says this. This is in the Magnificat. He said, Magnificat book for this month. He says, if people do not believe the word of Scripture, think about those family members, maybe those who are in OCIA, those who are forming to learn to become Catholic, or maybe those who don't want to have anything to do with the Catholic faith. And you're talking with them about something in Scripture. Pope Benedict says this, if people do not believe the word of Scripture, then they will not believe someone coming from the next world either. The highest truths cannot be forced into the type of empirical evidence that only applies to material reality. Wow, Pope Benedict. You know, there's some people you're just never going to change their mind. And don't try to. Don't try to change their mind. Let the Lord do the work. Give it to the Lord. It's going to be one more scripture. It's going to be one more piece of evidence from the doctors of the church. Stop. Stop. Think about the rich man who is nameless. Think about Lazarus, who has a name, whose name is in the book of God. Pray for those people. Yes, pray for a conversion of heart. St. Augustine has two comments, and I'll close with this. St. Augustine says, Lazarus was received into heaven because of his humility and not because of his poverty. Wealth itself was not what kept the rich man from eternal bliss. It's not wealth on its own. What do you do with the wealth? How does the wealth change your heart? What kind of a character are you because of the wealth? And these are Dina's words, not St. Augustine's. St. Augustine says his punishment was for selfishness and disloyalty. He was disloyal to God. He was selfish with his items, with his things, with the way he lived. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Are you going to be selfish with your title, with your position, with what you have? That's going to change your heart. Is your heart soft and malleable? Can it be changed like a treasure of clay to be formed as God wants it to be formed? Or is it hard and hardened? Finally, this last piece is from St. Augustine's book, Confession, which is his kind of autobiography. And he says this, how lovely I suddenly found it to be free from the glamour of those vanities, so that now it was a joy to renounce what I had been so much afraid to lose. For you cast them out of me, O true and supreme loveliness. You cast them out of me and took their place instead. You who are sweeter than all pleasure, yet not to mere flesh and blood, brighter than all light, yet deeper within than any secret, loftier than all honor, but not to those who are high and mighty in their own estimation. St. Augustine, what a shame if we should ever fail to appreciate the treasure of divine love.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.